From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, hello. My goodness. Here we are, mid-May.
Mid-May?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to warn you right now, that is just the kind of morning it has been for me. Yeah. Getting a lot wrong. The brain is, for whatever reason, I'm running on fumes. So this should be a fun one. Of course, it's mid-September. And look, it's not, that won't be the only mistake I make today. It's just been one of those, we've all had them, right? Well, thankfully, I've got some support today. One of my favorite people is sitting in with me. And, I'm just happy that they are here. My guest this week, of course, is you. That's right. My gosh, you're looking good. I hope you're feeling good as well. And, I'm tired and I'm, unfocused today. And, we're going to have fun, but it's, I just want to be upfront and honest with you. It's one of those, we had work. Tom is back, essentially, to work, and so he was in all morning, and we're readjusting to that. Positive readjustments, but readjustments nonetheless, and then had a fun lunch with Chick and Jess Hooker and Jeff Oskey and Jason Hofsetz and Greg Warren and myself. Not only was it a fun it was actually breakfast food, but it was also heavy. Ate a lot of heavy stuff. Oh, man, we had biscuits and gravy and muffins and breakfast potatoes and sausage. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. And so I've got that going. I had a ginger ale afterward. I'm obsessed with ginger ale these days. Loving ginger ale. Becoming somewhat of a connoisseur, actually. Whenever I go somewhere and I see they have it, I have to try different types and different brands and I even made my own ginger ale at home with actual ginger. That's right. Not great. I'll try to work on the recipe a little bit. But anyway, so I had a ginger ale to try to, sort of lighten up the weight in my stomach. And all over the place today. But thankfully, like I said, you're here. And we're going to have fun. And this week's sponsor is just one of the most magnificent things there is. It comes to us from Josh. He actually recommended the sponsor. And thank you, Josh. He said he enjoyed this sponsor during a grilling session he had. And it makes perfect sense. Sponsoring That Josh Arnold Podcast this week, a sunset. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there are a few sights more gorgeous than a setting sun, whether you're on the beach, whether you're on a mountain, whether you're even just sitting on your own porch, a nice sunset, what a gorgeous way to wrap up the day, isn't it? And to ease into the night. Oh, and Josh says, man, particularly during a grill, while you're grilling out, watching that sun go down, maybe you're having a sip of beer or wine or whatever it is you like, and even ginger ale and that meat is sizzling, and the family, whoever you have with you. Maybe I grill for me all the time, and all right, well, this is going to be a nice meal, and that sunset, just the visual capper to the day. Oh, very good, Josh. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you, Sunset, for being our sponsor. I hope you enjoy a sunset very, very soon. You know what I enjoyed recently? A small town in just about an hour north of Indianapolis or so, maybe northeast, Alexandria, Indiana, known by the folks there as Ellick. A lot of folks who live in Alexandria, Indiana, call it Ellick. They say, hey, yeah, here in Ellick, we have a lot of trains, or here in Ellick, we have a movie theater called the Alex Theater, but apparently people call that the Ellick, so the Ellick in Ellick. I love stuff like that. I love when small towns, have their own idiosyncrasies. And in this case, vernacular, and I think it's always fascinating and fun. And boy, we had a terrific time. It was Greg Warren and I and our one of our best friends, Sean O'Brien, all three of us doing stand-up in a movie theater there. And man, great people came out, and a great, great place. Christian, the owner of the theater, thank you for having us. Boy, we had just a really, really fun, great night. Good folks came out. Mike and Rob brought their mom and her granddaughter. Oh man, everybody was just terrific. My buddy Brandon brought his dad out. It was good to see them and everybody who came out. And also, two gentlemen came out. They were not together, but they both essentially shared with me phobias they have. And while this week we are not taking a trip to Fearfield, I do want to talk about what they had to tell me. One gentleman, and I apologize, I do not remember their names. I met a lot of people, and one of these guys has emailed me before, but I also get a lot of emails. It's my bad. I don't remember your name. But one gentleman has a fear of driving on highways. He refuses to do it. He won't drive on highways. And I mean, that's a true phobia, because it's affected his life, essentially. He has to take other roads, and I'm sure he does just fine. But if there's ever highway travel, so either somebody else, I meant to ask if he won't ride on highways as well. Like, could he be a passenger on a highway, or does it always have to be side roads? If you're listening, email me and let me know that answer. But fascinating. And then this other gentleman had a phobia, and I looked it up. I first looked up a fear of driving on highways, and I couldn't find anything that specific. There was certainly fear of driving or riding in cars, and then there was fear of dying in a car accident. Those are both fears, which I guess is certainly related to the fear of driving on highways specifically. But this next one, there was nothing about, and I found this to be incredibly interesting. A guy came up to me after the show Saturday, and he said, "Hey, my son says I have to tell you about this phobia, and I will." And he proceeded to let me know that his biggest fear is dying in mid-sentence, passing away without being able to finish the sentence he was saying. Isn't that wild? Wow. And I asked him a couple questions about it, and he says it's on his mind. It is something that is on his mind. It is a fear of his that when he dies, he will be mid-sentence and he won't be able to finish his what he was saying. I mean, that is really, really fascinating. I wonder what that's about. I mean, he must hate it when he's watching like those cop shows and a suspect or somebody who has the answer to the case has been shot and they're on the ground. And tell me, who did this to you? It was... And then the person dies. Like, that must be so disturbing for this gentleman to watch those kind of scenes. And then to go, I can't go out that way. I don't. Boy, oh boy. I wonder what that is. Isn't that wild? I was so grateful that he shared that with me, because that certainly is, that is quite something. The fear of dying mid-sentence. And I just Googled that. I Googled fear of dying in mid-sentence or while talking, that kind of thing. And I couldn't find anything. Maybe something's out there, but I just couldn't. The cursory search I did, I could not find anything. It's pretty. There must be. I mean, he can't be the only one. There must be other people that have that affliction, that phobia. But anyway, a terrific time in Alexandria, Indiana. The Elec, thank you so much for having us. Oh boy, basement's a little stuffy today, I'll be honest. It's things are kind of cooling down, but so we've shut off the air here in the building. But it's a hot one today. Oh, it's a hot one. And but the air is still not on, so it's real stuffy and weird in here. I say we get out of here. I say we hop on board the TJA Express. That's right. That Josh Arnold Express. The Arn Track, as it's also known. Oh, boy, doesn't that feel good? Ooh. Put your head next to the window there. Catch that breeze. Boy, that's nice. Ah, to be on the Arn Track, the world's only steam-powered monorail. Oh, I see that we have found ourselves in a neighboring town to Vocabville. My gosh, if we haven't made it to Anatomy Acres. That's right. This is Anatomy Acres, where we learn a little bit about the human body. For those of you who may not know, there are certain things, topics that I could talk about all day. Or it'll just feel like it. But words, language, that kind of stuff I can talk about all day. To a certain extent, horror films and the paranormal, that kind of stuff I can talk about all day. Well, anatomy is something that I can talk about all day. I've always been fascinated by anatomy and physiology and biology, and I always took those courses in school and did fairly well. And there was a time where I thought, man, maybe I will be a doctor. I would like to be a doctor. And then I decided, the entertainment field really called me louder than the medical field. So I went, I can always just kind of be interested in the medical field and not actually practice anything, be one of those guys. I love it. And I thought today we would talk a little bit about bones. Yes, here in Anatomy Acres. Now, you shout this out if you know the answer just right now. How many bones does the human body have? Oh, some of you were right. Some of you were right. That's for those of you who are correct. Yes, 206 bones in the human body. Now, the bones I wanted to talk about today, two special bones. First off, the smallest bone in the body, the smallest and lightest bone in the body, apparently has a new name from when I was a student. So you probably know it's in the middle ear. Now, back when I was in school, that bone was called the stirrup. It was the stirrup because it's shaped like a stirrup. It's sort of like it's exactly like a stirrup. I mean, that's why they called it that. And, kind of a half moon with a stick coming out of it. So if you were to look at it, you would go, yeah, that's certainly a stirrup, the thing that you put your foot in a saddle of a horse. So apparently now it's widely known as, and I, you know what, I apologize, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's either stapes or stapes. I don't know, S-T-A-P-E-S. But we always knew it as the stirrup in school. But that little bone in the inner ear there, the middle ear specifically, smallest and lightest bone in the body. Now, the next bone I wanted to tell you guys about here in Anatomy Acres is the only bone in the body that is not connected to another bone. It's sort of a free float. I mean, it's not floating. It's attached to plenty of muscle and some cartilage and everything. There's no other bone that it's touching. It's the only bone in the body. And that's the hyoid bone, which is in your neck. It's sometimes called the tongue bone because it essentially sits at the base of your tongue. And it actually helps tongue movement and swallowing and things like that. It's between the larynx and the mandible, the bottom jaw, the lower jaw. And it's like a horseshoe. It's a horseshoe that sits there, and it helps with articulation and peristalsis, which is swallowing. So it's pretty interesting, though. That's the only bone that doesn't touch the rest of the body. Now, my producer Jason is pointing to the patella or kneecap, and that actually does touch the femur. Those are connected by tendons. So they are connected to other bone. This is not connected to any other bone. So, but that's a good, you would think, because you can kind of move that around without stuff like, but it is technically connected to other bones, whereas the hyoid isn't. Now, the interesting thing about the hyoid, it's almost impossible to break. Having a hyoid fracture is very, very rare. Now, the reason I bring this up, and that you might be interested in this, if somebody has a hyoid fracture, the odds are they have been strangled, that they have been killed by some sort of strangulation or hanging or something like that. A broken hyoid is usually a sign of foul play, or that's a good sign because it's so difficult to fracture on its own. Whenever an ME, a medical examiner, looks at it, they go, oh, there's a broken hyoid. We might want to question some folks. So, pretty interesting stuff. I love anatomy. While I've been talking about this, Chris Spangle, who works for the show, he does a lot of the social media. He sent me a negative comment about me during the week, which is always weird. Somebody wrote in criticizing me, and he thought he would share it with me, but he thought it was funny. He wasn't trying to like hurt my feelings or whatever. He was just like, "Hey, look, this is some, you know, isn't this?" I believe his term was patently ridiculous. But the criticism was, "Hey, the Bob and Tom Show should get rid of Josh and hire a comedian. The world has enough pseudo intellectuals." And okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm not for everybody or whatever. I don't consider myself a pseudo intellectual because I don't. I'm never trying to fool anybody. there are certain things I know a fair amount about, and there's way more that I know very little about. And if I'm speaking very confidently on the air, odds are it's something I don't know about, and I'm pretending. It's all a bit or whatever. And I think most people get it. But when I do talk about things that I am passionate about, like language, anatomy, literature, and stuff like that, I think I am somewhat intellectual in those departments. But now I as I was doing Anatomy Acres just now, sorry, again, I told you my brain was all over the place today. I did that. That person was in my head going, "You pseudo intellectual." Yep. You gotta love the comments sections of everything online. Many people saying very nice things on many different platforms, but yep, nope. It's you still get plenty of the negativity going around. So fascinating. 200. What did we learn today here in Anatomy Acres? 206 bones in the body. That's right. And the stirrup, or I guess we're supposed to say stapes, smallest and lightest bone, it's in the middle ear, and the hyoid, the only bone not connected to other bones. So, good stuff. Share it with friends, family, and be a pseudo-intellectual like me. Well, let's keep moving on the old TJA Express. Ah, I wonder where we're going to end up next, but beautiful day to travel. Listen to that. That there, my friends, is the call of those afflicted with wanderlust. And I am certainly one of them. Oh my gosh! Look where we're at! It's Movie Mountain! Oh, what a great place to be. Celebrate all things cinematic. Have you been back to the movies yet? Have you gone to a theater? You enjoying streaming at home? Yeah, I'm doing both. I've gone to the theater a few times, and also enjoying streaming at home. And this movie I want to talk about. Now, I tend to reserve the podcast to talk about things that I really enjoy and love. And I'm going to be honest here. I don't know how I feel about this movie that I'm going to talk about. I haven't decided. I know I appreciate it. But I don't know yet if I think it's good or awful, if I loved it or hated it. It's going to take another viewing. And what I've done is I've been reading reviews about it, both from professional critics and amateur critics and Audience member, you know, folks that just post on Instagram or whatever. That's really the only social media I tend to be. So, and I'm finding that this thing is so divisive and people don't know. Some love it, some hate it. Boy. And I think the reason I want to talk about it here is because I encourage you to watch it and decide for yourself. And this movie, particularly, this is a horror film. So if you're not into those, don't bother. It's okay if it's not your thing. But this movie, in terms of in genre circles, will be discussed for years. And the movie is now in theaters. It's also available on HBO Max. It's called Malignant, and it's directed by James Wan, who did The Conjuring 1 and 2 and Saw and Insidious, which I think is sort of a modern horror masterpiece. It really scared me. So he also directed Aquaman, but this movie, Malignant, sold to the public, if you've seen trailers for it, as a Conjuring-esque ghost story, apparition, something is sort of haunting a young woman. That's what you essentially get from the trailers, all right? Well, there's more to it than that, and I'm not going to say anything. And once you watch it, you'll know why. But I'm telling you, so it's going to be, all right, I realize now what I'm doing. I'm going to have to be vague here. But I'll still try to keep this somewhat interesting for you. The movie makes some choices that are so... you know what? Here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you, because I still haven't decided if I like it or not, if I think it's good or not. I'll tell you what I appreciated about it. It is, to clean this up, guano crazy, all right? It is nuts. This movie, it's hard for me to even believe that it's a mainstream film. Some of the choices are so insane. It's some of the craziest stuff I've seen. And again, it'll be up for you to decide whether or not you think it works or it doesn't. There's also a lot going on here. It's an homage to certain styles of horror. I'll get specific here for those of you, this may be, outside of some of your interest, but there's body horror in it. There's, Giallo, however I've heard it pronounced both ways. Which is essentially just Italian horror. That means that there's a lot of reds and greens and, it's a tonal thing and a color scheme thing. And, man, it's beautifully shot. And competently directed, more than competent. It's really, really quite amazingly directed, actually. The acting, you'll have to decide if you like it or not. And if you like the acting, you're probably going to like the whole thing. If you don't like the act, because it is melodrama for sure. And some are saying it's meant to be, and some are saying, no, it's just not good. So... boy, I'm interested in your thoughts on this. If this is your thing, if you like a scary movie, or you like the horror genre, check this one out. It's pretty wild. And what I'm going to do is a little later on down the road, I'm going to watch it again, and I'll give you my follow-up review as to where I'm at on it. Because some of... I went in thinking it was one thing and it was another. So some of this is on me. So I need to watch it again now with a different perspective and different expectations. So I'm laughing because I love when movies or books or music or anything, maybe the way an athlete plays. Or, you know, I was going to say politics, but that hasn't been fun lately. Like in terms of discussing politics with people has not, it just isn't fun anymore for the most part. I mean, we all have friends and family that you can talk politics with and get something out of and kind of go, okay, yeah, whatever. But for the most part, it's just not fun anymore. But these other things to argue, you know, to discuss, because arguing really isn't that interesting. Discussion is a conversation. Well, okay, I see how you feel. You know, healthy back and forth. That healthy discourse is great, and this movie is going to create that. And for a long time. In fact, it may have, for horror fans particularly, I think it'll be a litmus test of. So, what did you think of Malignant? And based on the person's answer, you may decide whether or not you want to keep talking. I mean, it's really, really quite. It is interesting. So, Malignant in theaters or on HBO Max. And the way things are today, I'm sure it'll be streaming for free in 2 months, something like that, probably by Christmas. So, all right. Well, I see we've made our way back to the basement. What do we have here? I had a question sent in. Let me pull that up here. And yes, Mick. Mick says he enjoys the podcast. Thank you, sir. He says, I'm not much of a music guy, but I do believe in the power of music. What do you recommend in the way of powerful, uplifting music? Something that could turn your entire day around. Wow. Great question, Mick. Somewhat unanswerable, only in that what I find to be uplifting, others won't. And what others find uplifting, I may not. You know what I'm saying? What I'll do is just give you, you're pretty much asking my opinion anyway, so I'll just give you my opinion. You know, there are a lot of, there's a lot of what you consider uplifting music out there. The whole, faith-based music genres, your gospel, your, Christian rock, your, Christian adult contemporary, your Amy Grants, your Michael W. Smith, that kind of thing. My ex-girlfriend loves that stuff, and I know that music is very uplifting to her when she, is feeling a little maybe tired or a little down from work or whatever. She likes to listen to that, and it really makes her feel good. And man, oh man, I think that is fantastic. If I want something that I consider powerful and uplifting, I'm not ashamed to say I'll throw on some Enya or maybe even like Sarah McLachlan or, I've got a playlist that has like Sarah and Natalie Merchant and, there's even an Indigo Girl song on there and just stuff that I think is really pleasant and inspiring and hopeful. And but I got to be honest, I also get really uplifted by what some people would consider angry music. Like there are some songs by Korn and Rob Zombie and stuff like that. It genuinely makes me happy. Like if you play Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie, does that brighten up my day. It's just so fun and active and energetic. And, you know, there's obviously some dark imagery in a song called Living Dead Girl, but there's no malice behind it. It's, sort of playfully sinister, if you will. And so that also lifts me up, that kind of thing. There are some really nice, you guys know I love outlaw country and I love old school country and stuff like that. A lot of that will also lift me up. So it really just depends. I mean, some of it is just about mood and it's not necessarily about, this is sort of happy sounding or this is sort of, it's just about what gets you going. And all of that does. I'm all over the place with music and I'm glad I am. There are some old R&B. Are you kidding? Some of that? Jeez, Sam and Dave. You listen to some of that. I mean, you're going to, I at least for me, boy, am I happy hearing a lot of that. So, yes. And hey, look, Mick, if you're not a music guy, don't force yourself to be. Keep listening. Keep tuning the stations. Keep checking out playlists on Spotify. See what you like. And if nothing really grabs hold, that's okay. I'm sure there are many other things in your life that bring you, that can uplift you, bring you some joy. I know people that aren't, they're just not that into music. I know people that just aren't that into movies. Some people aren't that into sports, you know? So that's totally okay. Don't let anybody make you think that there's something wrong or that you should love all or certain music. No. Just be you, man. Everything was good. But those are my, that's kind of what I listened to there. So I wasn't too sure what to, and I'm just being completely transparent, to talk about today. So what I did was I went online and I searched conversation starters. And most of them are lame. not to be judgmental, but most of them are like, okay, yeah, this is basic. These are like basic icebreakers that if you were to, let's say you were running some sort of employee retreat, you would use that kind of thing. But I came across one that had some pretty interesting questions, and I thought I would go ahead, and I gave these a real quick glance. I didn't really think too deeply on them or even read all of them. But it's called 16 Deep Conversation Topics, and I thought I would maybe try to answer some of these. And I know this is, it may feel like, to me a little bit, it feels like cheating, because I really just didn't know what to talk about, but I didn't want to not do a podcast. So I love spending time with you. So I thought, all right, well, let's see what comes of this. All right. Question one, what do you do to impress others deliberately? Boy. Look, I think I'm being honest with myself when I say I don't set out to impress anybody. I like to entertain, so maybe, I don't like when I tell jokes or I try to do, you know, something funny. I'm not doing it to impress anyone. I'm doing it to hopefully entertain. So I don't think that's the same thing. I don't care about how I look a lot of the time. So if I were to put on a suit, I'm certainly not. First off, I can tell you right now, I'm not happy about it. So I would never just like dress a certain way to impress anyone. This is tough. Jason, you can nod or shake your head. Can you think of anything I might do that to impress somebody? Like, do I seem like the type of guy that? Yeah, he's saying no. He's saying, boy, and I hope that doesn't also sound flippant, but I don't care about impressing people. what you see is what you get for the most part with me, and with the exception of some things that I do on the big show, for pure comedic sake, it's not necessarily a true reflection of me. It's just me, being a little more villainous or a little more surly or something like that, or a little more stupid. I love playing ignorant. That can be so. I think on today's morning show, I claimed that cows have four hearts, and Christy tried to correct me, rightfully so, and I gave her a hard time saying no, it's true. So I like playing ignorant, but yeah, and this isn't a dodge to the question. I don't know that I do anything to impress others deliberately. Number two, what will you never do? Oh boy. You know what I've never done, and I never will. Cheat on somebody. That's just not anything I will do. That's in my moral code. And I won't do it. I think I would, temptation and stuff like that, but I just would never go through with it. If I were so tempted and it had to happen. And I've told my friends this before, and they some believe me and some don't. I would call whoever I was in a relationship with and say it's over, and then I would go sleep with that person in front of me. And then depending on how I felt afterwards, I would either call and say I made a mistake. And you look, that's not, there's nothing chivalrous about that. But in my own code of ethics, I would do that before I would just cheat. So, and I don't even think I would do that. Meaning, if I were in a relationship, I would totally respect it and just not be, I just wouldn't. But if I had to, let's say I'm married, but Sofia Vergara says, look, 1 hour, I would maybe have to make that phone call. But yeah, cheating is something I will never do. What else? Would you rather have less work or more work that you enjoy doing? Oh, I see. So is the job... I have a job that I don't really care for, so I can cut that down to 20 hours a week, or I could work 50 hours a week at a job that I love. I'm going 50 hours with a job I love. I don't want to put any time and effort into something I don't like. That's my whole goal in life, is to not have to do things I don't want to do. Now, I know that's sort of unattainable. We always have to do something we don't want to do. But for me, I'm working longer at something I love. That's for sure. Because what's the old saying? If you love what you do, you never work the doing stuff when you're loving it. I think that's verbatim exactly what the quote. Thank you. Thank you. I believe that was William Shakespeare Tennyson who said that. oh, boy, this next one could get this could go sideways. What is important enough to go to war over? Oh, boy, do I even want to answer this? What is important enough to go to war over? The only thing coming to mind are vague, sort of these vague ideas, but they're important. Freedom. Genocide. I mean, none of this is really pleasant, but I think that's important enough to go to war over. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. what does the American dream mean to you? Freedom is certainly in there. Freedom to do the best I can with no obstacles. Or at least with obstacles I can overcome. Meaning obstacles such as I need to become more skilled or I need to work harder. That kind of thing. Like those like natural obstacles. But the freedom to do, to be the best I can without what I'll call artificial obstacles. So if somebody is keeping me from being the best I can because of my weight or my race or my religious beliefs, that kind of thing, because of or my class status, any of that stuff. I think the American dream is to be able to do the best you can and be as successful as possible based on your own merits and without any unnatural obstacles in your way, if that makes sense. And I think it does. If you could instill one piece of advice in a newborn baby's mind, what advice would you give? Oh, I don't know if this is good advice or not, but this is what I would give. Remember this, it would be along the lines of don't take this too seriously. All right. Don't get too bent out of shape about, this life thing. Okay. What feels like the most important thing in the world at times, you will eventually realize really didn't mean much. And what doesn't mean much at times, you'll realize was one of the more important moments in your life. Don't try to define those moments let those moments define you. So relax, do your best. And if you're doing your best, you'll do great. Don't be afraid to laugh at a lot of this stuff. All right. There's a lot of seriousness out there. And if everybody just kind of stepped back and went, what are we doing? Why are we so bent out of shape about this? Or why are we so stubborn about this or that? Why? Look, everything's cool. And by the way, in a world where everything isn't cool, I think sometimes just going, look, I'll relax. We'll get through it. We'll that kind of thing. I just think it's, look, don't take it so seriously. I don't know. Am I wrong? Is it because I'm a professional smartass that I feel that way? I don't know. But all I know is in my life, that's something I wish I had known earlier. Was don't take a lot of this too seriously, all right? Be a good person and don't sweat a lot of this. Are you more worried about doing things right or doing the right things? Oh, doing the right things. If I screw up, which I often do, that stuff can be fixed. But yeah, so I'm more interested in doing the right things. What do you do over and over again that you hate doing? Oh, my gosh. This is something I'm really working on. Beating myself up. I do it all the time. And by the way, if you're ever inclined to, I mentioned earlier about a negative comment about me that was shared with me. If you're ever inclined to send me a negative comment, just know that I've already kicked my own ass about whatever it is you're saying. And my therapist has, really been, boy, she has her work cut out with telling me, hey, go easy on yourself. Will you chill? Will you forgive yourself a little bit? Don't live such a guilt-ridden life because you're not really doing anything that deserves guilt. You need to... try to look. So, yeah. So that's one thing that I do that I have done over and over that I am definitely working on. But I do hate it is that I tend to kick my own ass when it's not necessary. What do you understand today about your life that you did not understand a year ago? I don't know. That when you buy a house, there's a new expense every month. That's probably that's certainly one thing. Thankfully, I'm blessed to have a job, so those things aren't as painful as they used to be. Not long ago at all, but they certainly I still feel them. What makes you uncomfortable? Oh, that's a really good question. What makes you uncomfortable? Bar stools, I hate them unless they have a back. And even when they do have a back, no thanks. Give me a proper chair, please. fighting makes me uncomfortable. I'm not a boy. You ever see those of course you have these clips on the internet where it'll be two people on a street corner duking it out, or it'll be a news clip of, a brawl broke out in a restaurant, or some woman was upset because they were out of sweet and sour sauce. Like, you know exactly the clips I'm talking about. I can't take it. I just do not. I'm really uncomfortable watching people fight. I'm not a UFC guy. I'm not an MMA guy. Boxing, I appreciate more than I enjoy, for sure. I just don't. Professional wrestling, I like because it's more of a masculine, it's more of a testosterone-fueled soap opera than it is physical violence. I mean, they get violent, but I know enough about it that to know, okay, whereas... When Conor McGregor's in the ring, I feel like he is he really wants to hurt that person. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just I could be way wrong, but I don't like it. I don't like watching people fight. It does make me really uncomfortable. What one need and one want? I don't know. Some of these I'm going to skip. What will you never give up on? Oh, that's great. There are a few things. My family. I would never give up on my family. I would never give up on being the best version of myself I can be. I would never give up on my friends. I would never give up on trying to make people smile or feel amused or laugh. I'll never give up on trying to throw a little positivity around. Those things. When you look into the past, what do you miss the most? Oh, boy, probably the lack of responsibility, probably. That's one of them. Remember being a kid and waking up on a summer morning and you had the whole day ahead of you and not one responsibility? Maybe you had kid responsibilities like I have to make my bed before I can go out and play. Or maybe it was like, my only responsibility today is I can't get my new shoes dirty or that kind of thing. Oh, my gosh. Or you have to be back in when the street light comes on. So you had some, but it wasn't anything like adult responsibilities. Yes. When I look back at the past, I miss the lack of responsibility the most. All right. Well, this last one, I don't know what to do here. It's what's the best part of being you? Probably, and I don't know if this counts. I bet somebody would tell me this doesn't count. What's the best part of being you? Probably knowing the people I know. I think that's really special to me. That's really important to me. The people in my life mean a lot. And I know some of the most loving people in the world. I know some of the sweetest people in the world. I know some of the most skilled. I absolutely know some of the funniest people in the world. And I know some of the sturdiest, bravest, strongest. I mean, I am truly blessed with the folks, friends, family, coworkers, and also people I meet for 3 minutes after shows, that kind of thing. I'm blessed to know the people that I know. That's what's the best part of being you? Yep, I'm sticking with that. All right. I hope that in future podcasts, I won't have to resort to online lists, but that was a fun one for me to do. And I bet you have, I know you have your own answers to those questions too. And I'm sure you were thinking about what your answers were while I was bloviating about mine. And I appreciate you for sharing that with me. What to work on this week? Boy, oh boy. Let's see here. One question I saw in a survey that I didn't end up using was, what brings you joy? What does joy look like for you today? So what I think we should work on this week, I know I'm going to, really think about what does bring you joy every day. And because there's plenty out there that doesn't. But what does bring you joy? And treat yourself to a little extra of that, all right? Maybe your kids bring you so much joy. Try to spend a little bit more time with them today, or this week, rather. Maybe solitude, sitting on your back deck with a cold beverage and a sunset brings you joy. Go ahead and linger out there. That kind of thing. treat yourself to a little extra joy this week. I know I will, because I am back on the road this weekend in Toledo, Ohio. That's right. You've heard on the big show us reference the Toledo Funny Bone many times, because years ago, I had an infamous weekend there. Oh, dude. You know, Jason, I wish that I had been booed. There were shows where the audience was, they disliked me so much and thought I was so unfunny that it was pure silence. And I felt insane talking into a microphone and getting nothing, like total silence. That booze would have been a comfort to me, because at least I would have known that I was being heard. It was rough, and it was like six shows of rough. Well, I've worked a little harder, and time has passed, and I have some better jokes, hopefully. So I will be back there this Friday and Saturday night, one show Friday, two shows Saturday. And I hope you join me. Jeff Oske will be with me as well, and we're going to have a great time. So it is the Redemption Tour at the Toledo Funny Bone this week. Also, the podcast is going through, well, it's sort of an ever-growing thing, right? It's always evolving. And we are going to every other week coming up, all right? So there are a few reasons for it. Namely, stuff that I'm not interested in. It's stuff that's regarding, the higher-ups. We'll just say that, all right? I didn't do anything wrong. Nothing's bad. There's no problem. But it's just there's just some shifting going around. So we'll be going to every other week. And quite honestly, that'll probably prevent me from having to look up surveys online. So... Boy, do I appreciate you all. Thank you. Bye.